Hey, it's Farnoosh, and if I had to go back to my 19-year-old self and share her my one big piece of financial wisdom that I've learned in these 25 years, it's this. You can't save your way to wealth. You can't save your way to a comfortable retirement. You have to invest your money. Luckily, I got started in my early 20s. I learned that lesson early on, and I want to share the wisdom. I want to share what I've learned over these last 20-plus years investing in the stock market. I don't pick stocks. I don't pay lots of money to work with experts, and I've amassed a seven-figure portfolio slow and steady. I'm teaching my very unsexy tricks on Monday, April 29th, live at 3 p.m. Eastern. Go to sowmoneyworkshop.com to learn more and save your spot. Go to sowmoneyworkshop.com and sign up for my investing masterclass. Even if you can't make it live, everyone who registers will get the recording.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Everyone, welcome back to So Money. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi, and we have a very special guest today from a very special venue. I am live here at FinCon 15 in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where you're hearing some of the murmur in the background. I'm going to try to speak over it a little bit, but would love for people in the audience to come join us. This is a live broadcast of FinCon 15. We're actually periscoping this as well. We're going to air this on iTunes in a later date, but just want to introduce our special guest today. Just off of his fabulous keynote speaking here at FinCon 15, we have Carl Richards. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to brag about you for a little bit, if I may. So hold tight. Yeah. Carl Richards is a certified financial planner. He is the director of investor education for BAM Alliance. He is the creator of the weekly Sketch Guy column in the New York Times. Many of you have probably seen that. And is a columnist for Morningstar Advisor. His sketches are most known for taking complex financial concepts and making them easy to understand. That was my favorite part about your talk, actually, Carl. I wrote down simplicity equals art form. Keeping it simple is an art form, and we don't do it enough. Yeah. And his sketches, again, they also served as the foundation for his first book called The Behavior Gap, and most recently, very exciting, his book called The One-Page Financial Plan, A Simple Way to Be Smart About Your Money. You've been featured on Marketplace Money, Oprah.com, Forbes.com. You're a keynote speaker around the globe. It's such an honor to have you on the show. I know my listeners are in for a big treat. So welcome to, first of all, FinCon, and welcome to So Money.
Thank you. Super excited to be here. Thank you.
I like like to start with all my guests, I like to share a snippet of how they got started. And your story that I heard just now, talking about your first job and what you thought was a security guard job.
Right.
Actually was a securities job. Yet you decided to stick with it. Take us back to that moment.
Yeah.
Where were you in your life at that moment, and what compelled you to stay in the securities industry?
Right. So I was I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, right? I was an undeclared major at the university in Utah, and my wife was looking for, I was also digging ditches at a landscape company, right?
Your wife was the working woman making frustrated.
Right. Yeah, and she had graduated, she had a job. I came home one day and she was looking in the paper and I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm looking for a job." I said, "You have one?" She said, "No, I'm looking for you." And I was like, "All right, cool, what have you found?" And it was, we both thought it was a security guard job, you know, some sort of mall cop or, you know, whatever. So, like, this would be great, I can work at night, go to school during the day. I apply. Turns out it's a job in the securities industry, and I didn't know the difference between security and securities, right?
Right.
So I ended up with the job, and so I got into the industry quite by accident, but what kept me there was what happened a couple weeks after, right? When I finally started getting exposed to real people trying to make decisions with their money, and I realized, like, whoa, this is crazy, mm-hmm. right? This is not about spreadsheets and calculators, right? I thought it was a math job, and it turns out it's not. It's about emotion and goals and dreams and fears and worries. And so when I found that out, that's what kept me in the business. So that's been 20 years now. I've just been on this journey to try and understand why do all of us as humans behave often so irrationally when we're making decisions about money.
What's one big reason why? What have you discovered?
Well, what's interesting is irrational, I'm not even sure what to call it necessarily, mm-hmm. because I think it may be irrational, but it's completely normal.
Right.
Right? Like, to get, for instance.
That's the good news, I guess, in some ways.
No, the good
it's
news
human
is
when, behavior.
When we recognize that it's natural and it's human and it's genetic. So I'll give you an example, right? Like, when the market goes up, after the market's gone up, we all feel like we want to buy. And that's, like, we all do it.
Sure.
And don't tell me that you don't do it, right? We know we all do it. And then when the market goes down, we get scared and we want to get out. And so that's dumb, right? I've done it, so I can call it dumb. So it's dumb. But when we look genetically, right, we are hardwired to get more of the stuff that gives us security and pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're hardwired to stay in a pack. We're hardwired to be protected, right? And then we're also hardwired to get away from things that cause us pain as quick as possible. And so when you translate that, like, that's kept us alive as a species.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to investing, we, for some reason, we feel market down equals pain, get out, right? So it makes sense why we do it, but it's clearly not healthy behavior.
Your new book is called The One-Page Financial Plan, A Simple Way to Be Smart About Your Money. There are a lot of schools of thought out there, Carl, about whether or not it's worth it to work with an advisor. And you are with BAM Alliance, so
yep.
I work with an advisor. I'm an advocate of working with at least someone who can give you advice.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad advice out there.
You're right.
So in your book, and given what you do, what's your advice for someone who can come up with a simple way to find someone to work with them that makes sense?
Yeah. I've been asked that question a lot, and I've tried to come up with, like, a checklist. Like, if they just have this designation, if they just work at this place, if they just do these things, then you could hire them. And unfortunately, honest, like, you can't develop a checklist that out of the bottom will fall honest.
Right.
Right, and professional. So I would focus instead on how they act, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of what they say or what they tell you you're going to do. Those things are all important, or where they work, and that's important too. But I think the most important thing is how they act. And the way you'll know you're dealing with what I refer to as a member of the secret society of real financial advisors is if they ask you more questions, like, they listen more than they talk.
Right.
You feel like, and this is a good example,
they're not,
right,
showing you spreadsheets upon spreadsheets.
Or, like, hey, I've got this thing that's green. Oh, you don't like green? Here's blue, right? Like, that's called sales. So really, it's a function, like, it's a good doctor's appointment, right? You'll take and fill a prescription. if you feel like you were diagnosed correctly.
Yeah.
Right? So if you leave feeling like, wow, that person asks a lot of questions. I think they really understand my situation. And I think what the advice they're going to give me is going to match. And that all matches, it's a good sign you're on the right track.
Simple. Sometimes boring is best.
Right. Boring's almost always best.
What's your financial philosophy? I ask this of all of my guests to kick off the show, to really set the stage for kind of your mindset when it comes to money, Carl. You probably have a lot of philosophies, but if there's one overarching money mantra that you have.
Let go. Right, like stop worrying about it and stressing about it, and instead sort of embrace uncertainty and then do whatever is next. Right?
I don't know how you feel about this quote, but I went to a Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within event.
Did you walk on coals?
I left before that.
Okay.
Nothing against that, but I needed some water. It was like no food and no water, and I was thirsty and famished. But one of the things that Tony says, which kind of reminds me of what you just said, is that and I'm probably botching this up, but it's essentially like the more uncertainty you can have in your life, and the more comfortable you can be with uncertainty, it's like directly correlated to happiness.
Yeah, I think that's really, really true. I think your ability to handle, because so much of what we deal with is irreducible uncertainty, right? Mm-hmm. We can play games and tell ourselves stories that we can control things. And that's, I think, what we do naturally as humans. We'll make up a story like, I'm in control here. The reality is we're not. And so accepting that has been, it's really something my wife taught me, to be honest. And that has been the most powerful thing I've learned about money.
What did your childhood teach you about money? I like to ask guests about their most kind of influential memory about money growing up as a child.
Fear.
You were fearful of money.
Well, fearful there wasn't going to be any. My
scarcity.
Parents were divorced when I was eight, and my mom worked her guts out to make things work. And I just remember my mom always working and me always being scared there wasn't going to be enough. And my wife, on the other, like, just what's so fascinating to me is what we expect of people in a marriage, right? Like, and nobody told us that we were supposed to talk about this before. Right, my wife grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, right? And she was totally comfortable with risk. And so here I am, like, scared. And here she is saying, hey, don't worry. Like, if it doesn't work out, we'll move to the apartment, right? Like, it's going to be okay.
Hey, I found this job for a security guard.
Go.
I got your suit ironed and everything.
Yeah, so it's all, for 20 years, we've been married 20 years. In 20 years, she's just been unwinding to a large degree that sense of fear and scarcity.
What's your biggest financial failure? Has Carl Richards ever failed?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It'll take about 10 seconds in the old Google to find my biggest failure.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. Should we do it now?
Yeah.
Let me see.
You want to actually see if it works? Let's see.
So what should I Google exactly?
Carl Richards house.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Did you foreclose?
No, it wasn't that bad. We short sold.
Oh, well, then whatever.
Though.
No.
Oh, then whatever.
Wait, foreclosure? Wait, what do I say? House.
Let's just see what happens.
Okay, what happens?
How a financial pro lost his house
in the New York Times.
I wrote it. It was 3,500 words. There's a picture of me staring at my house. Oh, this is going to hurt, actually.
The value of your home, it collapsed. Our debt was out of control. My financial planning business was shaky. I went to take out the trash one night a few years ago.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So go down. Let's see we can't read them, but go down to the comments.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. You got to stop reading the comments, Carl.
There was 70.
Rule number one of writing 8, online.
There was 8,000 comments about this on
Yahoo. It's a really long piece. Was it in the magazine?
Yeah, it was the cover page of.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Oh, they took the comments off.
Oh.
A lot of the comments were like, you should die and your kids should be buried in
because
I made a mistake with my money. Yeah. Harsh.
You know what?
But
it's trolls, and they're living they're living in dark holes. And
I've gotten over that a long time ago. But the point is, we all make mistakes.
It happens to the best of us.
Well, I don't. Yeah, it happens to us.
For sure. Your proudest financial moment. Let's flip it. Your so money moment.
So here, if I can, like, this is a fascinating topic to me, right? So if you fast forward 3 years later, things are amazing, right? We moved to Park City, Utah. I have like.
What brought you to Park City, Utah?
Oh, I felt like we had to move back to. I was from Utah,
okay.
So that was in Vegas. I felt like we had to move back to take care of my my business. Mm-hmm. I thought everything was going to fall apart. We moved with a bunch of debt and a little bit of money in a shoebox, like cash in a shoebox. and a bunch of debt. And then you fast forward a couple of years later, all the debt's paid off. There's a bunch of money in savings. Like, and so I was trying to figure out, what did I do? What did I do to, quote unquote, deserve that bad experience? And then what did I do to deserve this good experience?
Wait, can I stop for a second? Because you took total responsibility for that, whereas a lot of people would have said, how could I have seen this coming?
Yeah.
The market's out of my control. Is that is that part of your approach to a lot of this? Or?
Yeah, no, and I'm really clear in the article, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is my deal.
Yes.
Right? In hindsight, I should have done this and this and this different. I didn't know at the time, whatever, it's my deal. But my point here is, I don't know. I mean, look, yes, I was responsible, but I don't know exactly what I... I don't know that I flipped some switch suddenly to go from that to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with my my therapist, counselor, coach guy, and I was like, well, wait, if I can't link something to the bad thing and I can't link something to the good thing, what does that mean about 5 years from now? And I said, does that mean I could, theoretically, I could own my own plane or I could be homeless? And he's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you accept that, then you're actually free.
Yes.
And I thought that was super cool. That's
Where
I'm like, the idea of letting go, of just being like, you know what? Of course we're going to do our best. Of course we're going to take responsibility. Of course it's all up to us. But in the end, it is what it is. After we've done all those things, it is what it is, and we can just let go and do what's next.
So then your So Money moment, let's go back to that. Where did you feel, when was your moment that you felt exceptionally triumphant in a financial decision that you'd made that had worked out, that did work out?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still feeling that way. Like, I have these moments where
it's a constant.
Wow, this is so cool. Mm-hmm. People have given me permission to do this again. Right? Yeah. Like, FinCon allowed me to come give a talk. Like, it's so such a blessing to have been given permission by whoever it is that grants permission to do this thing. Right?
Who are your role models? I see Seth Godin gave you a nice blurb on the cover of your book, and Seth's been on the show, and he's a big advocate of, like you mentioned, finding your true voice, being authentic, original, simple.
Yep.
As you were crafting this philosophy, really life philosophy for yourself, were there people that you kind of really respected that you thought, I want to be like that, or I really appreciate how they're living their life and doing their art, their work?
Yeah, I mean, Seth has always been a sort of a guiding light to just sort of doing the work,
mm-hmm.
right? Like showing up every day and doing the work. Elizabeth Gilbert's TED Talk changed my life for sure, with just the understanding of, like, you know, there's no... like shaft of light coming from heaven, right? We just sit down and do the work.
Like a mule, yes.
Yeah, the mule for sure. Then some other people that just have shown up in my life at the right time that have taught me to let go. I mean, my wife is so good at this, of just like I'll give you an example. We are in the middle. We've been renting our house for 6 years because we couldn't buy one, right? And we now have enough money to buy one, and we just need a little.
And the credit.
Oh yeah, the credit's fine. That's amazing too. That's an amazing story. But we have enough money to buy one, and so we're starting the process of building, and we need a rather large chunk of money, like 120 days from now. And there's about 20 ways that rather large chunk of money could show up. Like, I've written them all down, but none of them are like there guaranteed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, wait, aren't you worried about this? And she's like, no, like, it's 120 days from now. Like, it'll show up. Like, well, I know it's 120 days from now.
Wow.
And indeed, that was 120 days ago. The money's there.
Money's there.
It's all worked out. So the ability to somehow, and this.
But money doesn't manifest itself.
Be careful. This is not the secret.
Right. All right.
Right? Like,
let's be clear.
Yeah. It's not the secret.
There's a methodology to this.
Yeah. The difference is, like, we have the plan. We're working our tails off. But then we're taking that hat off, like the forward-thinking planning hat, and putting on the do the work now hat. Right? So I think balancing between planning and doing the work. It's like planning and being present, right?
Yeah. Well, speaking of doing the work, I'd like to ask now, what's your number one financial habit? So there is this idea, this greater concept of letting go. But within that, and as you are believing this, what are you doing? Let's say one thing that you do consciously, weekly, daily, periodically, that correlates directly to financial wellness for you and your wife.
Yeah. So I am working on something now where every transaction, right, every time the credit card's used or cash or whatever it is you use, I just simply take 3 seconds and notice it, right? Like, no bad or good, no judge, just notice.
In the moment?
In the, like, and my favorite word is to say, isn't that interesting, right? Just not bad or good. Like, okay, I'm at Whole Foods, I'm buying some kombucha, isn't that, like, and some kale or some arugula, like, let's make this even more Whole Foods-y.
And you spent $45.
And I say, actually, here's a better example, Jimmy John's. I've been going to Jimmy John's for 2 years getting an unwich, the ones wrapped in lettuce. I get the number 9 unwich. And the other day I realized I probably bought this sandwich 50 times, and if somebody was standing outside the door when I walked out and said, how much did you spend on that sandwich? I wouldn't have known. Right? Like somewhere between $5 and $12. Yeah. But I wouldn't have known. And so I noticed it's $7.50. Right? Mm-hmm. That's actually changed my behavior a little bit.
How?
Well, here's the deal. I think just the awareness. Mm-hmm. So it's only 2 extra minutes to my house from Jimmy John's. And so the other day I thought, and it's not that $7.50 matters all that much.
It's a great ad for Jimmy John's, by the way. Right?
Yeah, it's not that that matters all that much. $7.50, great sandwich, whatever. But I just thought, hey, you know what? That's right. We have some fresh greens at the house, and we cooked salmon last night, and it's in the leftover. Why don't I just go home?
Yeah, make the Carl Richards unwich.
That's right.
Right.
So the, I guess my point is a habit I'm trying to develop is simply noticing, not judging, not beating myself up. Just know, oh, that's interesting.
I like that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a very interesting conversation, more than just interesting. Let's wrap with some So Money fill in the blanks, Carl, shall we?
Oh, trouble.
No, it's fun, I promise. It's a stream of consciousness fun.
Yep.
Finish this sentence for me. If I won the lottery tomorrow, let's say $100 million, the first thing I would do is?
And I feel really strongly about this, absolutely nothing.
Okay.
I would literally just let it simmer for at least 90 days.
90 days? Is there a reason for 90, not 85?
No, it's just 90 sounds like a good number of, like, and I think this is super important, like a bonus, you know, inherited money. Just get used to the idea of having it right before you do anything.
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
That's what I would do.
The one thing that I spend my money on that makes my life easier or better is?
Recreation. Outdoor, like climbing, mountain biking, skiing. Yeah. Absolutely.
And
for
in
sure.
Utah, you get a lot of that.
Yeah, for sure.
My biggest guilty pleasure, and maybe you wouldn't call it guilty, but my biggest interesting pleasure that I get a lot of value out of, and I spend probably too much money on, but I do it anyway.
I don't even know what it's, I think it's called Talente, wannabe Italian. It comes in like the little round cans. They make salted sea salt caramel. Oh, how about Jenny's ice cream?
Oh, the best.
Yeah, yeah.
I
Jenny's
send
is
that
like
to
12
people.
Bucks a pint.
Yeah, if you want to ever thank
penny,
someone
send
for like
Jenny's.
Helping you out with work or just being generous, send them Jenny's ice cream. You can do
salted,
it from their website.
Their salted caramel
it's
is
amazing.
Out of control. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. One thing I wish I had learned about money growing up is
To talk about it. Yep.
When I am charitable, I like to give to
my church.
And I'm Carl Richards. I'm so money because
I'm totally ignoring money.
I love
I'm letting go.
You're letting go.
Yep.
And it's a shout out to Frozen, which is one of my kids' favorite movies, one of my favorite movies. I think we could franchise this.
Yes,
I don't know. We should talk to Disney about this.
Let it go. Yes, let it go.
Sorry. I love it. Carl Richards, thank you so much. Congratulations on the one-page financial plan.
Thank
you.
Pleasure. Yeah, thank
nice
you very
to
much.
You.
It was awesome.
And that is a wrap, guys. If you'd like to learn more about Carl Richards, his website is behaviorgap.com. He's also on Twitter at behaviorgap. All this information at somoneypodcast.com, where you can also nab the transcript, the comments, and also you can ask me a question. Click on Ask Farnoosh, and that's where you and I can connect in my inbox. And then every Friday, I respond to listeners' questions. Thanks so much. Coming from you live at FinCon 15. It's been a wonderful, so far, wonderful visit, connecting with so many great friends, colleagues, experts, and many guests who've been on this show, including Carl Richards. Thanks for tuning in. I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person, contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.